In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is born. Today we begin proclaiming the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear the angel proclaim to Joseph, and we do it in a way that starts not with the proclamation of his birth or the visitation of the angel, but we start by listing all of Christ's ancestors going back to Abraham. And I must be honest with you, I love this gospel because within each and every one of their names, there is an individual sermon. But I also like watching this gospel from my perspective and watching the shift that takes place once we get to the Babylonian exile and people realize they have another 14 generations to go through before they even hear anything about Christ himself. And we shift, and we ask, why do we have to list all of these names? What is the benefit? Is not the heart of today's gospel the conversation with Joseph and the proclamation of the birth of Christ, the fulfillment of the prophecy, Emmanuel, God who is with us? But as I said, in each and every name, there is a sermon. And in listing Christ's genealogy, there is a sermon. And a lesson. The lesson that our families shape who we are. And our ancestors determine much about the men and women that we will become in our lives. Looking at this list, we see who Christ is. We see that he is an Israelite, a true Israelite, a son of Abraham. We see that indeed he is descendant of kings, David and Solomon. He has that high position, and yet he is also in the charge of Joseph, a carpenter, someone who works with their hands. Christ is a king, and yet poor. He is regal, and yet simple. He is an Israelite descended from Abraham, and yet he is descended of Ruth, who was not an Israelite, a Gentile. He is a Gentile and Jew. He is all of humanity wrapped up. He is human nature. And he speaks to every situation in our life, to every type of person that is out there. And we learn by looking at his genealogy that he is and has granted himself to each and every one of us. There is no person on the face of the earth who can look at Christ and what he is and the people that led to his birth and not find some similarity and some commonality. And not see within Christ themselves as he looks at us and sees himself within us. And we learn this today because we look at his genealogy and we look at his ancestors. And we see how important that is to understanding salvation, that Christ came for Jew and Gentile, for rich and poor, and for the entire world. And we see that through his genealogy. When we look at our own, when we look at our own family trees, what do we learn about ourselves? We are all, as I said, influenced and shaped by the people who raised us and surrounded us in our formative years. And we might not realize until maybe we're yelling at our child and we hear our father's voice come out. Or we look in the mirror and we see our mother's face. How much they influence us. And the real crux of the issue that I want to discuss with you today is what happens when two individuals, raised by others, come together and say, we are going to unite our souls in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Two individuals raised separately with different backgrounds are going to become married and united in Christ. How much attention do we pay to our past in order to understand how we proceed in the future? Every couple is different. Every individual is different. And everybody has their own experiences and their own understanding of what is normal. Let's say, for instance, you're a young Greek man and you grew up in the house of attorneys, Greek attorneys. So arguing is a sport. And arguing lasts for 30 minutes, and the stinging insults last for 30 seconds. And you bring home for the first time a very nice, waspy girl. And she's never seen arguing in her family. And instead, they quietly endure. And she watches. You argue with your father for the first time, screaming and shouting at each other about something very menial. And she has to leave the room. You go find her and you say, "Hey, dinner's ready. Please come join us." And she sits down at the table and her jaw is on the floor. Because you and your father are joking and talking about what you did the day before, and it was as if nothing had ever happened. What is normal for that young man is what he was raised with. He was raised in a family that communicated in that way. And his future wife was raised in a family that did not. Neither one is right and neither one is wrong. Both are normal for the people involved. And yet, if those two people are going to come together and stand before Christ and ask to be united, they need to look back into their family history and say, "Why do I act the way I act today? Is it because of what I consider normal?" And as we move forward, what will be normal for us? And much of the strife and conflict that arises in marriages is from not asking that question and not having that conversation. How do you want to interact? What is an appropriate volume for an argument? How long do we let things go before we bring them up? What is normal for you and what is normal for me, and what will we create to be normal for our children? These are all conversations that are founded in our past and how we were raised and the people who surrounded us. And they are all conversations that, although their foundation is in the past, need to take place in the present and need to be attended to in the future. Everything in your past and in your family history pertains to how you act now. And you can choose to continue those blessings that you received from your parents, your grandparents, and your brothers and sisters, and looking back and say, "That was normal, and that was godly, and that was good, and that was loving, and I want that to continue." Or you can look back and you can say, "You know, that wasn't that great." And us, as a couple, responsible for the union that we have created, we don't want to do that. We want a new normal in our lives. And we can only establish a new normal if we understand what our current state is. And that is found oftentimes in our past. Just as today we find in Christ's path the identification of our Savior with every human on earth, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, He came to save all and to be all. Amen.